Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. This hour is presented by Key Marine, who's responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
I ain't got a high-powered motor. I don't own a wakeboard. I got a 1970 Morton guitar and an outdoor carpet dance floor.
Welcome to Boat Smart with Stefan Schmidt, the captain himself. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Jenna, and good morning, Pensacola. And we are glad you joined us today for Boat Smart. Boat Smart is a call-in show. You can call us at 850-437-1620. You can also text that number, 850-437-1620, if you maybe you have a question about my program, maybe you have a boating question or question about some service or repairs or anything like that. More than happy to take your calls or text. 850-437-1620 is the number. Boat Smart is sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine is located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola. The phone number 850-492-0487. Key Marine, your Yamaha and Mercury Repower Center. Special discounting prices on all Yamaha and Mercury motors, so give them a call or go by and see them out there on Bower Road. They are more than happy to help you out with your repower needs or your service and repairs. They specialize in service and repair on all MerCruiser, Mercury, and Yamaha product. They have trained technicians that can provide top-notch product service and repair. They can go to you. They have the mobile service as well. So we like to mention that also. So you're not just stuck at a marina or in your driveway. You can actually call Key Marine and they can go to you for your service and repair needs also. I am the Marine instructor over at Georgetown Technical College. Georgetown is located at 2400 Longleaf Drive here in Pensacola. You can get them on the web at georgetowncollege.edu. The phone number, 850-941-6200. You can contact them on that phone, but I highly suggest you either go to the website and check out their chat feature or just stop by Georgetown. Go up there and talk to our counselors. They'll get you in line up there to get you in a class at Georgetown Technical College. So that's the best place to start is with the counselors. Go by and see them or check us out on the georgetowncollege.edu website. We can register now. We have open enrollment, so people are registering for school. Believe it or not, we're all the way almost through June. We're going into July, and school starts in August. So get up there and talk to our counselors. See what you got. My class right now, pretty much filling it up again, so I'm expecting a waiting list again for this upcoming year. So highly recommend, if you're interested in my class, go up there and talk to the counselors. Come by and see me in my classroom, and we're more than happy to help you out with that. We have scholarships available, but you must pre-qualify for those. VA and Pell grants are also available, so check them out on the web. Come by and see us. Definitely want to help you with your education needs, that's for sure. So, Jenna, you know, we are in summer school session, and I always say that summer school is the time to relax, kind of. It's my fun time of the year. We have students that are working four days a week type summer school schedule, and I'm going to tell you what, this week has been a whirlwind for me. It was a very interesting week because we had visitors come in this week. And I talked to y'all about this a couple weeks ago. We had Yamaha Marine come in to visit our school and my program and to talk to us about what we got going on there at Georgetown in the Marine Service technology class. And I really enjoyed that time that they spent with us on Monday. They came by Monday and actually spent the whole entire morning with us in the classroom, looking around and checking us out and talking to us about our successes and how we obtain success in the classroom and out into the field. And Yamaha was very interested in knowing how I do what I do there and how the students react to what I do and how they transition from the classroom into the field working at Yamaha locations. And they were very, very interested in what we do over at Georgetown. And I was very pleased with the questions and things that they asked and the time that they spent with myself and my students. They also went around to different dealerships and spoke to different dealerships where we had students that are already working in field. And some of these students for long periods of time have already been out in field, some of them for short periods of time. So Yamaha spent 3 days here visiting, interacting with my students, talking to my students, talking to the dealerships, and getting information from the dealerships about my program, about how we interact with the dealers, how we interact with the students, and the successes that we have at Georgetown Technical College in the Marine Service class. You know, I thought it was so interesting about them coming in, because when I look at my program on a day-to-day basis, you have to really stop and think about where the successes are, what makes us successful, those kind of things. And when the visitors were talking about the numbers and the placements of our students, in my mind I was thinking, okay, they want to know where my students are working for the numbers, okay? And although numbers are very important, when I talk about numbers, how do you gauge some types of success? You have to have some kind of numbers in your success rate somehow. The school, in our programs, we are gauged, or let's put it this way, we are financed, I guess, or funded, if you will, by the numbers. The numbers being, for my program, I'm just going to talk about my program in particular, is can I retain a student? Can I complete a student? And can I place the student in field, working in the field at a dealership, in the field at an independent location? And when Yamaha was asking me about numbers, hey, they're wanting to know quite often, when I place a student, where am I placing that student? And when did I place that student? And how did I place that student? Did that student place under a co-op program? Did that student complete and then get placed in that program? And then I'm thinking numbers in my head. And the reality of it is, when you get down to the bottom line, the reason Yamaha wants those placements or the information is for the numbers, of course. They want to know. We all want to know. But the main goal is the continued support of the students as they transition from my class or anybody's class at the different locations around the country into the field. They want it to be a point of contact for students as they transition into the field, so the students feel more comfortable with that transition. And I found that very interesting, because that shows me that Yamaha cares about what's happening in our industry and what's happening in our Marine Service or the Marine field as a whole. So when I look at the visit and I'm thinking about them coming by, that was one of the things that really stuck out for me, was that they care about the industry, that they care about my students after they leave my program. And they want the dealerships to help the students to be successful. They want the dealerships to be involved with the schools throughout the country, where we have different locations of tech schools in the South Florida and the West Coast, the East Coast, wherever the schools may be. Yamaha is very interested in making a success story out of the students as they transition from the classroom to the real world. So they were gathering information and videotaping and talking to so many different people, you know. And as we did that, I started thinking, how my program looks in that big picture. And it was interesting to me that we, Georgetown Technical College, got the attention of Yamaha and brought them, then they came to our location. They were really, you know, that's a big deal to us, for them to come to us and talk to us about all this. We even were able to get an article in the PNJ, Jenna. What about that? I don't know if you've seen that article.
I've been waiting. I was like, is he going to bring it up or should I?
No.
I'm so excited. It was an excellent article, and I'm so proud of you and your team and what you are doing at Georgetown. So I would love to hear more about it and you share with our listeners.
Yeah, the headline read, a small program at George Stone gets Yamaha's attention. It could impact schools nationwide. That was the headline. And, you know, when I looked at that headline, I was, wow, to me, I was like, wow, you know, because think about that, impacting different schools across the country. And I got to thinking about that in my program and stuff, and I started to think about how the instructor is probably the first point of contact in the program. It's all on the instructor's back to make this thing work. But when I started thinking about other schools across the country, I've talked to different instructors and things, and in the past, you know, I do Skills USA competitions, so we're able to talk to different instructors and things like that as we go to these competitions. During this week, I was thinking, you know, it does kind of start with the instructor, but if the instructor at that school doesn't have what he needs or she needs to be successful, it's not going to go anywhere. I mean, bottom line.
Right. You're right.
The instructor has to have a vision, I think. Okay, you have to have a vision. You have to have something to start with. You have to have a plan. You have to have an idea of what direction you want to go. In my class, what I do is my first step is to find out what the student's goals are. When I get a new student, I had a new student, a new student, he's going to start in August, he came by my class yesterday. And one of the questions I asked is, what are your goals? How can I help you meet your goals? I think that's very important for an instructor to understand the goals of the students. That's so very important for that to happen, to understand the goals and to make sure that if those goals change, that the instructor is aware of it. The second part of this is once you decide that you want to be an instructor, I promise you this, we don't do it for the money, right? A lot of times you have to have a vision. You have to care about people. You have to want to help people, I think. If you're going to be an instructor, I don't care if it's in a K-12 school, a college, a tech school. I think instructors, you know, top quality instructors should care about their students. They should care about their programs. They should care about these things. And an instructor can have all that. They can care. They can want to do. They can have all these grand ideas and avenues and direction. But if they don't have the backing of people around them, it's not going to be successful. I just don't see that happening. And when Yamaha was here, we were talking about how to help other schools be successful. And I gave them a bunch of ideas and things that I do that are in my head, you know, the things that I kind of do out of my head. I don't even know how to write them down at times.
It's okay. You know? I get you. I totally get you.
Yeah. It's in my head and it just comes out as a working platform and I'm able to work with that. But if the instructor doesn't have the backing of the administration, the people that help you with the funding of your program, the support that they give, if the instructor doesn't have that, that's going to be a huge roadblock, you know?
Right.
You have to be able to be funded for what you're doing. You can't go into a classroom with nothing and teach. Although at the beginning I did, you know, when I started my classroom, 13 years ago, I had nothing.
Oh, wow.
So out of desperation, you tend to think about ways to do things, you know, and there comes the stuff out of my head into the classroom, you know, and you start working with that. But a lot of times that's not enough. You have to have the funding to go along with what you're trying to do.
Right.
To meet the goals of the students, right?
Right. But a lot of times people can be defeated and just give up. But what you did was, from frustration and desperation, you brought innovation, and then that led you to where you are. A lot of people just expect, you know, experience to happen overnight. It takes time. It takes sometimes hardships and then a lot of work and partnerships to get not only that experience and knowledge and expertise, but also that funding.
Yeah, exactly. And there were times in the beginning days that I was ready to walk out the door.
I bet,
you know?
I bet, right.
Believe me. And you look at things and you start thinking, oh gosh, you know, this is tough. This is hard to do. You know, what do I do? But I'm telling you, then it starts with the instructor. It does. But you have to have the support of administration. you have to have the support of the dealerships in your area. They have the people where you're going to place students to go to work. You have to have the support of those dealerships. They have to come in and help you, not only with ideas, but maybe donations and things like that. They have to be able to help you when you put a student to work at their location. They have to be able to help you bring that student up through a mentoring program or something like that. That's another aspect of what I, you know, try to get into my classroom. And then you have to have the help from the manufacturers, and that's where Yamaha has stepped in. And through the years, their help in my program has taken my program to a different level through donations, through Jeff Crane, their rep, coming by and talking to my students and hanging out with me in my classroom and helping me to run ideas and, you know, in and out of my classroom as far as a way to do things and stuff like that. You know, that's so very important what Yamaha is doing, supplying us with the curriculum and the online training that we need to help make our students successful. And you start adding all these things up and how you put all this together to try to make a successful program, something that works, you know. Students is a part of that. You have to have students that are willing to work hard and willing to learn. And, you know, you add that to that. What do you think about it, Jenna? When I say the students have to be part of that.
Oh, absolutely. It takes commitment. And I believe from what you've shared with us, from the students that have come in, they have that commitment, because you can have all that, those aspirations and those dreams, and you want a new career, you want to gain that knowledge and be able to maybe eventually down the road start your own business and in that area, but you have to have that commitment. And I think that you have shown that over time, that a lot of students, a high percentage of them that come through George Stone, have that.
Yeah, and I think that's what you have to target at the beginning when they come in the door, you know. Are you committed to this? Are you willing to do the things that I think are necessary for you to be successful in the classroom and then along with this new career choice? You know, that kind of thing. So I think that's very, very important. I got a text that came in. It says big executives interested in a program in a small college. It was a wonderful article. Somebody sent a text and said, talked about the article. So I appreciate that text and thank you for that. You know, I was surprised that so many people picked up that article and read it. I really was. You know, I know the PNJ comes in and out of our school quite often, and as well as Channel 3 and our local news. And I was so appreciative of the article that they wrote and how they wrote it and the things that they said. They spent a lot of time with us over there. So, you know, when you look at our program and how important it is to our area and the things that we do in a local area and how it can spread out into different locations across the country, I just want to thank P&J for doing that great article on us and what they said. And they just nailed it on all that. And I just thank them for that. So it was a good article. So if you get an opportunity to read that, do it. It's online also, and I know it's on a printed version. So, you know, you have to kind of stop and think about how things are going. And that's what Yamaha did for me when they came in this week. They made me kind of, they started me thinking about how to be successful as an instructor and as a school as a whole. Okay. So if you have a question or comment, you can go ahead and text us that question or comment, 850-437-1620. The phones are down apparently here, and so if you can text us your question or comment, more than happy to take that, 850-437-1620. I got about 5 minutes left, so more than happy to do that. So, you know, what Yamaha has done when they came in here, we talked about how they can how we can help the students and the dealerships and all to get together to make a greater good for the marine industry as a whole. One of the questions that the Yamaha representative asked my students was, do you realize that you're going to work on boats that are way, that cost way more than the average car? The average boat is going to cost way more than the average car that any automotive tech will ever work on in their lifetime. And I thought that was a great question for them to ask these students that. Because when you start looking at the big picture and how things are happening and progressing in our marine industry, the cost of the boats, the technology that the boats have on them now, and the type of technicians that are going out into the field, and the pay scales and the longevity of the employee at the locations and the careers that they choose through the entire industry, Yamaha touched on all those little areas. So, you know, it's very good for them to come to our areas and start looking at different schools and locations to try to help the industry as a whole. I've got a text question here. It says, first time boat buyer, what's a good starter boat for Sunday fun and fishing, etc.? What's a good starter boat? Well, that's a great question, and that's a best place to start is to start thinking about what you're going to do. Sunday fun, fishing, etc. is a very good question. You know, it's going to depend on who you're taking with you, how many people, is it a family? It's a family type situation. A lot of times when I get this question, you know, a Sunday fun fishing type boat, a lot of times I think of about a deck boat, having a deck boat, which is a good all round V-Haul type boat with the top side of kind of like a pontoon boat. So it kind of gives you the experience of a pontoon boat with a lot of area. It gives you the ride of a V-Haul, or, you know, you can take the boat out a little further. And it gives you the sides of the boat, the gunwales, where they're kind of high, where you can protect your family or your first-time boaters, those kind of things. And then an outboard engine, a four-stroke Yamaha outboard engine on the back of it. So that's kind of what I would recommend. I got another text here. It says, what is the cost for the Marine program? That's a great question. And the cost of the Marine program to come to my program, if you look at the entire program, 1,350 hours, you're looking at a general cost of around $5,200 to $5,600 for the program. And then, of course, the investment in your tools and things like that. So you can really get started around $5,500 is going to get you through the program. At 750 hours, I can have you going to work if that's the career path that you take. At 750 hours in the program, we can have you working at a dealership under a co-op program. So that's some general ideas on that. But if you have any more questions about that, you want to come by and talk to me, I'm more happy to talk to you about the cost on those kind of, on the cost of the program and the tools that are required and that kind of thing. There's another question. 2000 Yamaha 225 ECM reads different than the hour gauge. How can that be fixed? That's a great question. I like that. And we actually installed an hour meter, or installing an hour meter on a boat that has a four-stroke Yamaha on the back of it. Okay. So the reality of it is this. I'm going to make a quick answer of this question. The hour gauge on the boat has different hours than the ECM. I would rely on the ECM hours for actual engine hours. I would rely on the hour meter to rely on a reminder for the customer to do his maintenance and repairs, or maintenance on general maintenance on the boat. That's what I would rely on them to. They're not always going to match, but, you know, so the hour meter on the boat is going to, as long as that key is on, that hour meter is running. So a lot of times the hour meter does not match the ECM. So, wow, we are already past getting there to the end of the show. I've got a couple more texts that I'm not going to be able to get to, but maybe, Jenna, you can give me that information. I can do that after the show today. Absolutely. I want to go ahead and thank our sponsor, Key Marine. Key Marine is located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola. You can call them at 850-492-0487. I'm going to use this opportunity to continue this talk about the relationship between dealerships and the school as we go into the next few weeks, and how all this is going to work out for the student's success and the success of the school and the dealership. So I'm going to carry this conversation. Jenna, I always say we need a two-hour show, don't we?
Yeah, that got busy. I apologize for the phone lines. It's just, you never know.
That's,
You never know. So thank you for
texting.
That's
fine. We'll take the